So we're back. It's time to now get into the class content that we're responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to first of all talk about the way it was meant to be created by God.
Yes. Marriage, sexual intimacy and pleasure, physical, spiritual, and emotional. Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden.
Eden means pleasure. The Garden of Pleasures.
Yeah.
So God wants us to have a full and pleasurable life.
Right. Sexual intimacy is hardwired in every human.
I like these words of Moses helps us understand our intimacy DNA.
Right. So immediately in Genesis 2, verse 24, after talking about the creation of Adam and the Eve, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh.
I think that's so interesting mm-hmm. about, like, so Moses writes the book of Genesis, and he's reflecting upon the creation of Adam and Eve,
mm-hmm.
and then later on puts in there, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, to apply marriage and sexual intimacy is a pre-fall created and designed aspect of an image bearer of God.
Yes.
So we could talk about that. Why mm-hmm. should we be into this class for ministry? Well, because it's so key to our pre-fall image bearing creation. So we're getting into a little philosophy here. Who is a human? A human is a sexual person.
Right, God created
it. And he created it that way. Yeah, but then right. Moses in the Word puts it, it's a marriage, intimacy, and marriage brand of sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
Yes. All right. Pleasure connected to reproduction. In Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number.
Hmm. I find it fascinating, too, that sexuality and reproduction, the pleasure of that is a connected thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is a when you are emotionally, physically, and spiritually one, out of that intense, even
right.
pleasurable experience comes, by God's design, children.
Yes.
In
most cases, yes.
Yeah, no, not everybody gets to have children, and we know that that sin has come to the world. We're going to talk about that later, but in its design and
its
setup,
design wise for be fruitful and multiply, increase.
Right, and now that can frustrate us because if we don't live up to that, what's wrong with us? Remember, this is before sin has come into the world, but at least it's the North Star.
Right.
Like, when God created image bearers, he wanted them to have sexual intimacy in oneness and out of that children. Now, in ministry, we bring this up a little more, too, because our world is separating reproduction from sexual intimacy in a quick way. And, I mean, even debates such as pro-life debates, Roe v. Wade, that infamous decision that legalized abortion, was a decision that said that sexual privacy is a woman's business. It's not anything to do with the impact that it has on reproduction.
Right.
So it becomes a philosophical thing where, oh, no, a woman's body belongs to her alone, and her sexual pleasure is her business, apart from the consequences of having a child. So pro-choice says she can choose then to terminate that pregnancy, not connected to the consequences of her sexual lifestyle.
Right.
So, that is, again, you see, that is not how God set it all up.
I was thinking, that's not how God intended it.
Right.
Same thing, so.
And every child that is born out of that experience of sexual intimacy mm-hmm. is a image bearer of God, we believe.
Yes.
So, but again, here's an area where there's lots of ministry opportunity. If someone has gone through abortion, this is a time where the healing that Jesus Christ can forgive or can, does forgive someone that word not can. He does. The blood of Jesus Christ.
Well, some people struggle with thinking, can anybody forgive me for doing that too? So it's not a totally mistaken.
Yeah, I understand. But I want to be really clear. In ministry,
you're right.
Notice how the book of Genesis here just gave us a ministry moment here.
Right.
Because it's a pre-fall institution, sexuality, having children connected to sexuality and sexual intimacy, because it's a pre-fall, so hardwired, when someone aborts a baby, I believe there's an internal, like, and we've seen this in ministry, the internal guilt.
Right.
You know, that someone may feel, and the depression, all of these things happen. Because not just terminating the pregnancy, like many in the social sciences want to argue it is.
Right.
It is going against how someone, we believe, was designed by God to be created. So in ministry, it's an opportunity to love on people and point them to Jesus Christ. You know, we who have not had an abortion are no better in our sin than someone else. We are here as ministers to say that Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm.
They will often experience these things. We're here to say there is a balm in Gilead, so to speak. There is water of life for you. But again, notice even here, and even I think there's other ministry connections here. If someone cannot have children, this is another area where their intimacy, it may have been joyful and pleasurable, and they want to have a baby, and they can't have a baby. It's understandable how ministry is needed in this area, and it's so connected to intimacy. We have all this pleasurable intimacy and oneness. Our goal is to have a baby, and we can't have a baby.
Right. Yeah.
So the connection there is another connection of ministry, and we've experienced that where, you know, one of the things that we get into adoption so much on and promote adoption is because we know the depth of how somebody who is married, how they want to have a child, and how they can be used by God to minister to a child that's not well placed. And God can use that as well. Pretty incredible, really.
Yes.
Okay, let's get over to that slide here. Oh, there we go.
All right. Sexual intimacy, marriage, and pleasure connected to the marriage worldview. Hebrews 13, verse 4, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Proverbs 6, verse 25, do not lust in your heart after her beauty or let her captivate you with her eyes.
Well, you know, two things here is, now these are passages that deal with the fallen humanity.
Right.
Okay, so, and we're going to get deeply into what happened in our brain, what happened when, you know, that happened. But it's fascinating that the Word of God starts bringing redemption. Like, redemption is the marriage bed should be honored by all.
Right.
And going back to creation. And don't go after, in that case, the prostitute. But you can say, don't go after the cheap and pseudo intimacy of pornography or all of these things that, you know, in a sense, we're already seeing. And it really comes down to calling us back to this.
Okay, God created your sexual intimacy. Pleasure is a gift to enjoy. Adam and Eve enjoy sexual pleasure in the Garden of Delight. The pleasure was not fragile or shameful. Like eating and naming the animals, sexual pleasure was filled with deep satisfaction.
When you know, a lot of times people think, well, you know, look at he's subduing the earth by naming the animals, and then he's found Adam in chapter 2 of Genesis as without a helper, and then Eve is created, and then you know, it really wasn't talked about that they did it, that they had sexual relations. And we know they did it because Moses calls attention to the fact that this, for this reason,
a man and a woman.
Yes. Okay, so these are what you do mm-hmm. in work, and that word subdue the earth in Genesis mm-hmm. chapter 1, verse 26, 27, 28, that whole cultural mandate, what you do, that word to have dominion is that word to be a steward. We, in the New Testament, is to be the deacon, to be the minister. So, mm-hmm. So it's fascinating how that Old and New Testament ties together.
Yes.
And then sexual intimacy, relationship with another person is this crucial piece of that. God really wants you and I to be enthusiastic in promoting sexual intimacy in marriage, in the marriage worldview, in every way to say this is a beautiful gift of God.
Mm-hmm.
And, then, so how is this then characterized?
It's designed for pleasure. They're put in a garden of pleasure. There's no shame. Physical, spiritual, and emotional oneness occurs, and it's hardwired into reproduction.
They're designed for pleasure. That reminds me of when we were first
married. I was just thinking about that.
Were you too? Oh, yeah.
Dr. Ed Wheat's book, Intended for Pleasure.
For pleasure,
one of the first books that we were introduced to in the marriage class we took before we got married. Marriage class, yeah.
So Dr. Ed Wheat ministered to us like you are going to minister to a young couple through the knowledge you're going to gain from this class, or a couple that's stuck, or a neighbor who has been injured and needs to see a different way, and Jesus is mm-hmm. drawing them through the injury to himself.
Yep.
So, we actually have a message through the Bible of how it ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we also know that from brokenness, where you get into the next section, that how it ought to be is not all, in fact, none of our experiences, because we all are sinners and fall short of the glory of God. So until next time, praise God as you pursue this topic. And I congratulate you to still be in this class and to courageously look forward to how you can minister in this very sensitive area.